if you're going to get your wall built, you're going to have to identify in advance of an attack your low points and your exposed places. Think about your life. What are my low points? What are my exposed places?
Hello and welcome to this Friday edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. Thanks for making this part of your day. Well, we all have weaknesses, sins that tempt us more than others, and they're different for all of us. Today, Pastor Paul challenges us to take stock of our exposed places, our low points, because make no mistake, our enemy knows them well. If you've missed any of our recent messages from the book of Nehemiah, you'll find them on demand at PastorPaul.net. And stay tuned after today's teaching for a special message from Pastor Paul. But right now, let's join him for today's Destined for Victory message, Keys to Building a Better Life.
And I'm seeing people being eaten up by the enemy's plots and strategies because they're not careful at their tired and vulnerable moments. Look at verses 11 and 12. Also, our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them. We'll kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near the enemies came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. Here's what I want you to jot down. Intimidation is part of the enemy's attack plan. Why does the enemy talk about what he's going to do before he does it? In this passage and many others you'll read in scripture. Because intimidation is part of the attack plan. In other words, an enemy wants to get you into a certain frame of mind before they actually launch the physical attack. It happens not only in nature and in this text. It happens in sporting events. What do you think talking smack is about? It's about trying to get you into a frame of mind where you already feel defeated before you are defeated. So they don't just play. I grew up playing on the playgrounds of Philadelphia, playing basketball. That's just what you do. You grow up, and I'm the same version of Will Smith. In Philadelphia, born and raised on the playgrounds where I spent most of my days. Cooling out, maxing, relaxing, all shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I didn't go to Beverly Hills, I ran home before the shooting started. We played ball all growing up. And out there, we learned what talking smack was all about. They're trying to get you so intimidated that you start defeating yourself with the inner panic and the inner frustration, or just get you so worked up that you're so busy trying to get back at them that you're not paying attention to the disciplines necessary to win the game. So they'll go out there and talk about your mama. And they go out there and talk about your lack of skills. And you know you can't guard me. And it's all trying to get in your head. The enemy's talking, saying, we're going to get them. Next thing they know, we're going to be right there. We're going to kill them. And that's going to be the end of this project. And then the Jews who live near them don't have any better sense than to come tell you what the enemy is saying. Side note, get rid of the folk who talk about your problem and never your solution. You don't need them. I don't need somebody to make me more aware of my problem. How's that going to help me? How's that going to bless me? I thought you should know what they said last night. 10 times over, text just told us. They keep on coming with updates. I'm telling you folks, if you're going to get your wall built, if you're going to live a better life, you're going to have to change your company. You got some folks on your bus who got to get off. We're supposed to get everybody saved. I'm not talking about people you're supposed to minister to. I'm talking about people who are already in your life and they keep highlighting your problem. You don't need them. If they're going to stay in your life, at least get them off the bus of your inner circle people. Say, there's a bus coming behind us. I'm put you off here. You get on that bus. You can still be in the vicinity, but I can only hear the people on my bus. Oh, I'm telling you what I've had to do and what some of y'all better hurry up and do. And redefine your bus. Just because you love Jesus doesn't mean everybody's supposed to be on your bus. They're like the people, the 10 spies who went out with Joshua and Caleb. What'd they do? They come back highlighting the problem. Come back saying, man, we saw them people, compared to them, we look like a bunch of grasshoppers. How do they know what they look like? To the enemy. They're in a mindset that angered God, because when those 10 spies got through taking the heart of the people, the two that had faith were vastly outnumbered. Remember Joshua and Caleb said, listen, we should go at once. God said, that's our land. We should go at once. He'll deal with the giants. Come on, let's go with it. But those 10 said, don't you listen to them. They're going to get us killed. Hearts of the people melted with fear. And it got so crazy, they began to murmur and complain. And God called Moses out of the business meeting. Said, can I talk to you for a minute? Read it when you get a chance. God said to Moses, you can go tell them they can stop trying to figure out whether they're going. Because with that spirit I see, not one of them is going. The only folk going out that whole bunch are Joshua and Caleb. He said, because they have another spirit in them. And if you keep on following their history, and some of you have, over in the book of Joshua, God waited till all those folk, complaining, murmuring people, whose hearts had been taken, he waited till all of them died. And he kept Joshua and Caleb alive and strong. When Joshua gets to Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, when he's giving out the lots for inheritance, he says to Caleb, all right, I'm ready to give you your inheritance. Caleb said, now wait, I want to remind you that God spoke through the man of God, Moses, way back when we were spies, and he promised me that I would have Hebron as my inheritance. And I realize that Hebron is yet unconquered territory. It's hill country. And I realize that the enemy is still there. But Joshua, I know we boys, we've walked together for a long time. But don't you dare think about giving me a smooth inheritance that's already conquered, because that's not what God has for me. God has Hebron for me, and I want it. And I don't care that the enemy is still there. And then watch his testimony. He said, I'm 85 years old, and I'm as strong today as I was when I was a spy. That's the kind of faith I need some of you all to get a hold of. Listening to all these faithless people in your life telling you what you can't do and where you can't go and how you can't get delivered and how you won't be set free and how you're always going to be poor and always going to be sick and always going to be under some curse. The devil is a liar. You better find you some Joshua and Calebs. Put them on your bus and get those other people out of your ear. The enemy is trying to intimidate you. Quit listening to him. Because if you listen, your heart will melt. The enemy said, we're going to get them. We're going to be there before they know it. We're right there. This is Nehemiah's response, verse 13. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. He gave special attention and offered extra support at the low points. I want you to see that. He gave special attention. He offered extra support where? At the low points. Are you familiar with your low points? I want to encourage you, identify your low points. I want you to identify them. Find out. Think about it now. What are my low points? What are my exposed places? Now, you know, physically in this rebuilding project, there were places where the wall was more torn, more destroyed, and there were places that were exposed, meaning if the enemy wants to attack, he's not going to go to a high place. He's going to find a place that's easy to exploit. If you're going to get your wall built, you're going to have to identify in advance of an attack your low points and your exposed places. So take a moment right now and think about it. Think about your life. What are my low points? What are my exposed places? Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean, where are the places where the enemy has been successful in the past. See, some of you all are continually vulnerable to attack because you don't stop to realize that this is a pattern. I always seem to get defeated in this area, whatever that area is for you. And you got to identify your low points, your exposed places. That's why, brothers and sisters, we said earlier in the series, you've got to build your partnerships. Because sometimes your partners can help you figure out and identify your low points and your exposed places. If you don't have a friend who can say, you know, you're always susceptible to the enemy in this area. I've noticed that about you. And we got to work on that. Do you have somebody who can go there with you? Hope you're not surrounded with a bunch of people from your fan club. Because your fan club isn't going to get your wall built. If they are busy making you feel so wonderful all the time. Now, you need to be encouraged sometimes. But the people God wants to send into your life know when to encourage you and when to admonish you. I don't need people who do all one and none of the other. I don't need people in my circle who every time I see you, your face frowned up. And you got a word. And you're always slamming me. I don't need that. I need somebody who can do that when that's necessary, but who then will turn around and say, now let's go to work on this. Let's change this. Let's conquer this. Let's kick out this stronghold.
The rest of today's Destined for Victory message with Pastor Paul Shepherd is straight ahead. But first, a quick reminder, our website, pastorpaul.net, is the place to go to find out more about Destined for Victory. You can also order selected resources or make a safe and secure donation to help Pastor Paul lead people into a growing, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, our web address is pastorpaul.net. And if you haven't already, download the free Destined for Victory app. Search Destined for Victory at your app store and listen to the program right from the palm of your hand. The app also allows you to make donations or shop at our online store. It's not only about how Satan attacks, but where he attacks. Here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's Destined for Victory message, Keys to Building a Better Life.
I need people who can help me identify my low points, my exposed places. Look at your pattern. Where have you messed up? Some of y'all, you mess up with money all the time. Same patterns and wondering why you're broke. You need somebody who can come along and help you. Low points, vulnerable spots, exposed places. For some, it's relationships. Some of y'all keep trying to have a special relationship with somebody you're not married to. Amen. Well, we just have a unique, I know. It's so unique that even God isn't involved in it. And you keep wondering why. You hit a place of failure or disaster. You got to find the patterns. Be honest with yourself. And then correct them. And change them. Because the blessing will come once you identify it. Then you can do what this passage goes on to say. What is that? Then Nehemiah, once he identified the low points and the exposed places, he sent people there. And in some cases, he told them, stop working on your section of the wall for now. You got to go get behind these other people and make sure the enemy doesn't come through that low place, that low point in that exposed place. And some of them actually stopped working on their section of the project to come and support people who were trying to build up a low point and exposed place. That's what a good friend will do for you. That's what the people God will send into your life will do for you. They'll just focus on you for a while and help get you straight. Stop being so independent and so full of pride. I don't need anybody. Yes, you do. People can't, they got their own problems, sure, but they're anointed to help you with yours. In fact, if they help you with yours, it could be the Lord will eventually turn you around and you can help them with some of theirs. But right now, you got to be available for help. You don't want to be counseled. You don't want help. There are a whole lot of people who, when somebody said, well, I think you should go talk to the pastor about that. I don't need to talk to him. I might be anointed, or somebody I appoint might be anointed to stand behind you at your low point and help you get it straight. And you go on and say, insist you don't need us. He a man just like me. I am. But I'm an anointed one with a particular anointing to shepherd the flock. And I didn't do it for myself. Oh, so you think you're somebody? No, God made me a pastor. He gave me an anointing to feed you and lead you. I can't lead people who are stubborn. You got to say, yes, Lord. Okay, I'll go submit to the wisdom. Do you know when the Bible says submit to your leaders for they watch for your soul as those who have to give an account? It wasn't playing. I have to give an account for you. If I understand that passage right, it sounds to me like before I just go sweeping through the gates of paradise, God will say, ho, 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 wait a minute. Let's look at your pastoring gig here for a minute. Did you lead those people? Did you feed them? Did you do everything I told you to do in their lives? And I need to be able to say, yes, Lord, I did it for all who made themselves available. Now, I had a few who said, I was a man, I put my pants on just like they put their pants on one leg at a time. He can't tell me anything. He had his own issues. Who he gonna have to say something about my life? And because of that, Lord, they missed their blessing. And he'll say, yeah, I remember when that happened. And they failed to see my anointing on your life. Worst thing you can do is see somebody in the flesh who was sent to you in the spirit. You missed that. I'm just going to keep on going. You always miss your blessing when you look at somebody in the flesh who was sent to you in the spirit. Jesus came in the spirit, but the people in his hometown, when he showed up, they said, what we hear about this, him going around working miracles and preaching? That ain't nothing but Mary and Joseph boy. Who? Mary and Joseph live around the corner. Oh, yeah. That's just his boy. Tripping. Call himself some savior. And the Bible goes on to say, next verse, and he could not do many mighty works there. Why? Wasn't because he lacked the anointing, because they lacked the discernment. And they looked at him in the flesh when they should have saw him in the spirit. And you got to understand that. God wants to send people into your life who are anointed. And it doesn't just have to be me. If you get the right partners, the right friends, they will help you. If you and your spouse get on the right in one accord and quit fussing and fighting over stupid stuff, you got a saved spouse. That's supposed to be one of your strongest partners. And it's the devil that has y'all fighting all the time. Because that's one of the people who's supposed to be able to stand with you in faith. And so once he identified them, they beefed him up. They put support there. One more thing I want to show you. When you look at the subsequent verses, I want you to see that then he gave them a word. Because I said, if you're going to defeat the enemy's purposes, you got to be armed not only with weapons, but with word. What does that mean in the verses? I don't have time to go back over. We read them at the beginning. He did two things. He gave them a word. What was the word? Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. What was he telling them? He was saying, you've been hearing what the enemy's saying. Now I want you to get your mind on God. And he said, don't be afraid of the enemy. That's what I come to tell somebody before I let you go. I need to tell you the Lord says to you, do not be afraid of your enemy. Don't be afraid of the enemy of poverty. Don't be afraid of the enemy of addiction. Don't be afraid of the enemy of guilt. Don't be afraid of the enemy trying to condemn you. Don't be afraid of the enemy who's trying to make you think you can't clear that rubble and build that wall in that area of your life. Don't be afraid of the enemy who says nobody in your family has ever done what you're trying to do and you're not going to be the first one. God said through Nehemiah and to Nehemiah, don't be afraid of the enemy. Why? Next phrase, remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. See, your problem is great, but your God is greater. Your sickness is great, but your God is greater. Your addiction is great, but your God is greater. Your poverty is great, but your God is greater. Your troubled heart is great. Your broken heart is great. But God is greater. If he's the one who ordained you to build the wall and make a better life, he will not leave you. In fact, he's brought you far enough where you ought to realize, if God bothered to bring me this far, I know he's going to take me much farther. He wouldn't have started it if he wasn't going to finish it. He wouldn't be good for just a while and then stop being good. God goes from good to gooder. Good to gooder. I know it's not a word. I'm educated. I got a master's degree. I've been to school. But gooder works right now. God is going from good to gooder. From blessing me to blessing me some more. He's helped me this far. I put my Ebenezer and said, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. But I got news for the devil. You haven't seen anything yet. Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. You barking and talking smack, but just hang around a little while. Just be here a year from now, 2 years from now, 1 month from now. Just hang around. You haven't seen anything yet. Talk smack while you can, because after a while, God is going to shut you up. Oh, I want somebody to leave here declaring to the enemy, you have shot your best shot and you still can't get in the city. And the wall's still going up. And after a while, we're going to have total victory. We're going to be up on the top of the wall looking down at you talking about na, 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 na.
Well, for the past several days, we've been looking at the life and times of Nehemiah, a man who overcame strong opposition to accomplish what most thought was impossible. If you are facing a crisis today, if there are broken places in your life that seem impossible to rebuild, Pastor Paul Shepherd wants to help, and he's rejoined us here now to tell you about a helpful resource that will encourage you as you take on life's challenges. Pastor?
This current study in the book of Nehemiah is so exciting, not only because it gives us the historical account of how God called and anointed Nehemiah to lead the enormous project of rebuilding the torn down wall of Jerusalem, but also because it offers principles and patterns by which you and I can see broken and dysfunctional areas of our lives rebuilt and restored as well. And I'm even more excited to let you know that Zulon Press has just published my full-length book based on this study. The book is entitled Rebuilding What the Enemy Almost Destroyed. And I've decided to offer it this month in appreciation for your donation to Destined for Victory. At more than 200 pages in length, the book retails at $15.49, but I'm trusting the Lord to lead each donor in terms of what you should give this month to help us continue letting people everywhere know that our God is a restorer, and he will enable us to rebuild whatever areas of our lives the enemy has tried to tear down. So when you donate during the month of September, feel free to request a copy of this impactful book. We'll get it right out to you. Thanks in advance for standing with me this month.
Well, this is an exclusive one-time offer, so the time to call is right now. Call 855-339-5500. Again, 855-339-5500. Or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Again, the address is Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
The kingdom ought to operate on principles that are far different than what you see out in the world. Just because we live on this earth doesn't make us citizens of this earth. The Bible is clear. We are citizens of another kingdom. You're just here passing through. I hope you understand this world is not your home. You are a pilgrim passing through. You are an ambassador.
That's Monday in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Living a Life of Hope, H-O-P-E. If you'll be in the San Francisco Bay Area this weekend, Pastor Paul invites you to worship with him at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, where he serves as senior pastor. Now, until next time, Remember this timeless truth: He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.